roofing and metal buildings.
And a high fly ball to left. The Dodgers are going to win it on a walk-off by Chris Taylor. 3-2, and the Dodgers lead the Rockies by a game and a half with 10 to play.
But he's got to lose when those two teams play. That helps the St. Louis Cardinals in the wild card race. Charlie Steiner, the Los Angeles Dodgers radio network, or excuse me, television network, and the Dodgers beat the Rockies last night in a great pitching matchup between Kyle Freeland and Clayton Kershaw. We are going to have a lot of fun today. Mr. Dvorak should join us here in a few minutes from Philadelphia, where he is having meetings this morning with Tulsa and Temple. Don't know which team that he met with this morning as they play tomorrow night in a American Athletic Conference game. So we'll look forward to talking with Dusty. I think we're going to work in some phone calls in the next hour. 460-WWLS. So if you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, you can feel free to voice them right here on these airwaves today. The Missile is in studio. Missile, what's up?
Not much, Mark.
Missile, how could you turn down the Ultimate's invitation to the fair?
I didn't want to go to the fair.
I'm not a huge fair guy either. But to Jim, the fair is like, it's his special place. And Jim wanted to take you to his special place, and you just blatantly shot him down. I thought that was heartbreaking.
I don't know. What do you want? You want me to just go to the fair just to go? I didn't want to go yesterday.
What is it that you don't like about the fair?
Because
the fair,
there's nothing I don't like about it. I just didn't want to go.
I think the fair has excellent food. It's always fun to kind of see what's to be seen at the fair. Because you can see some stuff that's interesting. You don't have to get on a ride or anything like that. You can go check out the all the latest new automobiles. You can go look at the animals. All kinds of stuff to do. You, as a big city slicker yourself from the Houston area, you probably didn't attend many fairs down there.
I went to a couple fairs. It wasn't it was Fort Bend County Fair is the one I'd go to.
Somebody just texted me that you're a diva.
I don't care.
You should embrace that. But I felt bad for the Ultimate last night. If the Ultimate asked me to go to the fair, I'd have gone. I would have enjoyed a nice pork sandwich with him. That was delicious. But Jim went to the fair on opening night. I did get a little concerned. You were not here. You were sick of all of the things that he consumed on that first night at the fair. Basically, it was two pork sandwiches, gumbo, cinnamon roll, and there was one other thing. I thought maybe you had a stomach ache for him. Because that's a lot.
I may have. That's a lot.
But when the food is very good, and so I'm not taking a shot at Jim. I'm just saying is that when there's so many good things to eat, you don't want to leave anything out. But I've not been to the fair yet either. But I've not been invited by anyone to go to the fair. So you've got one up on me. All right, there's been a little bit of discussion on some college football last night, Major League Baseball. Cardinals win again. They're in action right now against the Braves in Atlanta, going for a series sweep. But Paul DeJong with the big knock last night for the Cards.
Right there, two people don't realize, cutting that run off, going to second base.
And DeJong with a drive into left center, Cunha back. The Cardinals have their first lead of the night. It's 2-1.
Dan McLaughlin for the Cardinals Television Network. That was Jim Edmonds on the color. I am not a fan of Jim Edmonds on the television. The Cardinals have some really good color analysts on the roster. Sometimes it's Tim McCarver. Other times it's Al Roboski, Ricky Horton. But, man, when they work Jim Edmonds into the rotation, not a fan at all. No enthusiasm. Doesn't bring any of that to the broadcast. So, all right, that's what's going on in Major League Baseball. We'll kind of keep you up. As we mentioned, the American League is wrapped up. All we're waiting for is what should be a couple of excellent playoff series in the American League, with Missiles Astros going up against the Indians and the Red Sox taking on either Yankees or the A's. Probably mean more for television if it was the Red Sox and the Yankees. All right, Oklahoma State. Another big game in Stillwater this week with Texas Tech coming to town. The Red Raiders have kind of righted the ship after a season-opening loss to Ole Miss, 77-zip route of Lamar. And then last week, I don't know what the final of that was, 64-49, something like that, against Houston. Tech down proving to 2-0. No sight of an allegedly improved defense. Not getting many stops for the Red Raiders. So for Oklahoma State, the challenge certainly on the defensive side of the ball. And so Jordan Brailford talked about Tech's tempo and how to stop.
It's definitely their tempo. You know, they do like to move the ball fast, get a lot of plays in. It's going to be well over 100 plays, so just got to get used to it during the week. We're going fast, you know, two scout team offensive going back to back during practice to help get us ready for the tempo.
I think that the 100 play philosophy that Tech uses, there's no question what it does to your defense. It's going to wear your defense out. Your defense is going to be on the field quite a bit. I think for Oklahoma State in this game, possess the football, wear that Tech defense down, make them be out on the field, extend drives, quarterback run game with Taylor Cornelius, which I thought was a beautiful wrinkle last week against Boise. Hadn't seen a whole lot of that on film, and it wasn't pretty. Cornelius doesn't, again, he does not look like an OU option wizard when he's got the football in his hands, but he is big, and he falls forward, and he's pretty decent. So Oklahoma State with Justice Hill, I think, will have a ton of success on offense in this game, a ton. And their defense will probably take on a little water after last week. Tech offense is very difficult to stop. But I think Oklahoma State, to me, they've got more playmakers on the defensive side of the football that can cause problems than they've had in quite a while. We heard from one of those, Jordan Brailford, Calvin Bundage. They've got guys that can make things happen and get to the passer. So far, so good for Jim Knowles on the defensive side of the football for OSU. Missile, what games are you looking forward to the most this weekend? Texas TCU?
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Texas TCU will be pretty good. I'll be hosting a show from 11 to 1:30 on Saturday.
Nice.
So I'll be looking forward to all the 11 a.m. kicks.
Where are you going to be? You going to be in studio?
In studio, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll be giving updates, live updates of the game. We'll be talking OU, OSU.
Both in-state games starting tomorrow night at 6, or Saturday night at 6.
Yeah. I'm more interested in Oklahoma State Tech. I may not even touch OU Army. As far as like watching it, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to watch in that game that I'm going to need to see. Unless Army keeps it close. I have
the
no
OU
expectations
game
for that game.
Should, well, okay. Let me give you this advice in terms of trying to watch those two games. I would think you could watch the OU Army game, and with the way that Army runs the football, that game would be over, and you could tune it to the Oklahoma State-Texas Tech game, I would think maybe with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and still maybe see the decisive few plays of that game.
Listen, I'll be watching. I got more than one TV, but I'll probably go to a bar because I'm not going to order the OU game. So,
yes,
you know, it's a pay-per-view one. So, I mean, OSU Tech, I'll be watching the whole thing on that one. You gotta have more than one TV. That's the way to do it with college football.
I may make my debut at Memorial Stadium on Saturday night.
Just
to see Army, to see the cadets, to see the pageantry of the game. I think that they will. It should be one that I think I don't expect it to be close, but I do think that as far as a college football experience, it would be great, and I would look forward to going to the game in New York when OU returns it. And one more time, just a huge, like, giving it up to, credit is due to Joe Castiglione at OU for scheduling these games. I think the OU Army series is awesome. And I'm pretty sure that the game coincides with the 50th anniversary of the 61 game. Same way that they're doing things with the Nebraska that season too. 2021, a game of the century. That would be the 40th anniversary, right, of the game of the century, or maybe the 50th. I'm not sure. 50th. So, the way that OU has gone across the country and played, you know, a national power each season it's just tremendous. So it's good stuff. Give it up to Joe C for doing that. TCU Texas is interesting to me. I asked this question earlier to Matt and Craig. Do you think TCU has a big advantage at quarterback in this game?
They have a slight advantage. I don't know if it's a big advantage.
I think it's just a slight advantage at quarterback. I do think that TCU is going to have more of the talented players of the 22. But Ellinger made a bad gaffe in the Maryland game, but since then he's been pretty good. He had a nice night against USC.
Yeah, USC's pretty awful. I mean, that's what we talked about. We hosted that show on that Saturday night. Me and you both had Texas winning the USC game. I know Matt and Zach were both all over adamant that Texas were going to lose to USC, but we were right on the money on that. But USC's just not very good. We'll see what they can do against TCU.
Well, it'd be a huge win for Tom Herman. I mean, I think you can all but forget about the Maryland loss if TCU opens a Big 12 with a win, or if Texas opens a win, the Big 12 over TCU and wins three straight. I mean, that's pretty big to erase that memory against Maryland the first week of the season. Florida Atlantic, UCF, do anything for you?
That's going to be a tough game for TCU down in Texas. They're going to walk all over them.
No, it will not be easy. Does the Florida Atlantic Central Florida game do anything for you on Friday night?
No.
All right, so it's not going to be one of your picks?
Maybe. I don't even know what the spread is on that game, so probably not.
Other games in the Big 12 on Saturday, one that I thought might be ripe for an upset, Kansas State at West Virginia. West Virginia, 16-point favorite of the Wildcats, who have failed to impress so far. K-State, my pick of them to be in the Big 12 championship game, is doomed. Not going to happen. The Wizard, Bill Snyder, did not formulate the kind of offense that I thought he would this season with most of his offensive line back, a couple of quarterbacks can play. It just did not happen. And then, of course, we have Kansas, the suddenly resurgent Jayhawks on the road at Baylor, a game in which not many people will pay attention to. It's probably the Cellar Dweller game right out of the box. 2:30. Fox Sports 1. Both teams 2-1. So I think that, again, the KU defense has been something else. Also, Puka Williams. Maybe the best player to ever carry the football named Puka from Louisiana. Had a huge game last week against Rutgers. 18 carries for 158 yards. Right now he is going along at a clip of about 8 yards a carry. That's putting him in line for perhaps all Big 12 running back.
He's in Kansas?
Yeah, Puka.
My gosh, how bad is Rutgers in Central Michigan?
Hey, he ran for a buck 58 on Rutgers, and he ran for a buck 25 on Central Michigan.
That's what I'm asking. How bad is Rutgers? Rutgers has to be the worst Power 5 team, right?
Well, if you lose at Kansas by that many points, yes.
Yeah, you get blown out by Kansas, you're the worst Power 5 team.
You're in strong consideration.
Central Michigan's got to be awful.
Central Michigan, I don't think is very good either. But
you got Kansas winning the Big 12 game this year?
I think they'll win one. I do. I think they could beat Iowa State. I think they could possibly beat Texas at the end of the season. Kansas State usually kills Kansas, but it's possible.
Boy, Kansas State, that's got to be up there in the disappointing. You know what? I'm not so ready to give up on them, actually. I was going to say, it's a little disappointing. Yeah, it's disappointing how they showed up against Mississippi State. I don't think they're quite done yet. I don't think they're just an awful team. I think they'll give someone a scare.
I think they will need to win this game Saturday. They're a huge underdog. But, could they give somebody a scare? Of course they could. I mean, they usually find a way to win a game with some kind of wrinkle that Snyder throws out there. But that's not going to be good enough to get them into the conference championship game.
No, they're not good enough. I think there's four teams that can make the conference title game. I think everyone else is on the same page.
TCU, West Virginia, Texas.
Oklahoma State.
OSU.
Off the Pokes. The Pokes are way better than Texas.
So you're leaving out Texas.
Yeah, I don't think Texas is there. I do think Texas will pull an upset. I actually think Texas beats TCU this week, but I'm not buying Texas as a Big 12 contender.
I would agree with you on Oklahoma State. I think OSU probably right now, to me, is they're the leading contender to be second in the league.
Yeah. I mean, that was an impressive game against Boise State. Cornelius, I thought Cornelius is actually above average in that game.
He was.
But
running the football was a weapon for them.
Absolutely. But what they don't need him to be that good. All they need him to do is complete a couple passes like he did to start off the second half, get a couple first downs that opens up the run game, and they got one of the best rushing attacks in the Big 12. And if not, it's the best. That led him to dominating Boise State. That's a recipe how Oklahoma State's going to win games.
Well, having the West Virginia game in Stillwater is enough to give the advantage to the Cowboys in that. I think that Mike Gundy is just much better in years where he doesn't have high expectations. I think the pressure really built up on them last year. But man, he is just comfortable and loose and laid back, and I think his team recognizes that. And they've got a stretch here where they should be able to figure some things out internally. If they stay away from injuries, they get that sprint to the finish with OU, West Virginia, TCU. Two of those on the road. 2-1 in that stretch gets them into the Big 12 championship game. It probably gets them into a New Year's Six bowl, I think. I don't expect them to lose much other than that.
Yeah, they're one loss or two loss team. They're in. That's a New Year's Six bowl.
Yeah.
All that matters, though, again, it's not necessarily about being the one seed in the regular season. It's just about making the title game. You make the title game, you can still win the conference. It's just one game.
That's right. That is correct. All right, we'll hopefully catch up with Dusty here momentarily, and I want to tell you today that you can come out and have some lunch with us at Country Equipment. We're at I-35 and Southeast 89th Street. With all the rain we've had, trees and grass are growing. Country Equipment sells most of the things that you need for your acreage. Kubota tractors, mowers, Polaris ATV chainsaws, edgers, equipment made by the best branding manufacturers like the Kubota, Polaris, Skag, Hustler, Echo, and Still. So come by and see us today. Have some Qdoba Mexican Eats on the house at 8901 South I.
Bless the sports animal.
To the Monsters of the Midday on a Wednesday. Hanging out today at Country Equipment with some Qdoba Mexican Eats. Just had somebody come in and get a little lunch. That's what we want you to do. Stop in and we'll be happy to feed you some Qdoba Mexican Eats. They've got a little bag, brown bag for you that has a cookie in it. It's a very nice surprise. Some chips and salsa, nice wrap. So get in here and see us today at Country Equipment, I-35 Southeast 89th Street. We're going to take some phone calls. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. And leading off the show today on the phones will be Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
What's up?
Yeah, I got a couple questions for you.
Go ahead.
I'd like to know your views and thoughts on what you think of the 49ers this year and their upcoming game against the Chiefs.
I like the 49ers. I think that Garoppolo is a huge improvement there for them at quarterback. I understand that they lose the game one at the Vikings. That's expected. That's a tough place to play in Minnesota. I think this game against the Chiefs will be pretty interesting. Kansas City is bound to come back to earth somewhat. The 49ers are in the division with maybe the best team in football, the LA Rams. I think the best they can hope for is a wild card unless there's some significant injuries to the Rams. So I do like the 49ers. They're much better than they've been in the past. They should be able to, I would say, win three of the four matchups with the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And with the NFC being as difficult as it is in the other divisions, that may give them a leg up for the wild card. I saw yesterday on Todd Furman's TV show that he was taking the points with the Niners against the Chiefs. Got to be a little bit of a value play right there. The 49ers spent a ton of money in the offseason on Jared McKissick, the running back from Minnesota, and he goes down with a torn ACL in training camp, and that's not been a good thing for them. Goodwin, their wide receiver, has been hurt too. I don't think he's going to maybe out this week. So anytime you give a lot of money to a guy, spend that kind of cash, and you don't have a player to get under the field, it hurts. But I still like the 49ers. I like him. He was a little loud. I'm not sure if he had his radio down either. Let's go to Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Mark. I got two questions for you, buddy. I'll take them off the air. The first one is, what is the name of the coach at the 3-0 UConn Millers, and how good do you think they are this year? I'll take it off the air. Thanks, man.
All right. It's Jeremy Reed. who won a state championship at Altus and left to coach a year in Arkansas at Lake Hamilton. He's done a really nice job with them. They're playing good on the defensive side of the football. Option principles on offense. And I think that game against Norman will be a pretty good game. And I was actually thinking about UConn today, going back with the last time the Millers were 4-0 to start a season, which is what they would be after Friday night. But Jeremy's done a really, really nice job with that team. So I'll give a shout-out to Coach Reed and the Millers. Next caller is Dusty. What's up, Dusty?
Hey, Marcus. Sorry I'm late, honey.
It's okay. I forgive you. How's Philly?
I just was on a 2 hour and 30 minute call with Clemson.
On with Clemson?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been in the hotel.
That's the longest call I've done yet.
Did you guys ask him about the college football playoffs too?
What was discussed?
I don't even know what just happened there. Holy cow! We talked to Dabo. Well, he can talk. Him and he can talk quite a bit. You don't have to ask many questions with him. Then we had the offensive coordinator Jeff Scott. Then we talked with Hunter Renfro, who feels like he's been there like 37 years catching passes. And then we talked with Cleveland Farrell, who, Mark, the more tape I watch of Clemson, he is by far the best one of those guys up front. He is off to a crazy start this year, 99 Cleveland Farrell. And then finally they tracked down Coach Venables, who was on right whenever the missile was calling. So
Coach V can talk as well.
Yes, they can all talk. So, but you know what? I've got plenty of storylines and plenty to talk about. So
they got to feel pretty good about their team if they got 2.5 hours to spend with the announced group.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily like that, but we caught them when they had a little bit of downtime. So, I can promise you, Brent Venables is not taking Georgia Tech lightly. I could tell in his voice. I felt bad. He was just mad that he had to go away from preparation. The SID was having some trouble trying to get him to commit to actually even talk to us. So,
got it. What else is on the agenda for today?
I'm going to try to breathe at some point. let's see. I'm going to talk with you for a little bit. I probably need to wash myself because I've just been sitting in my Philadelphia airport hotel room watching films since 6 a.m. And you know, just getting ready for these interviews. I've got to go to Temple. I'm meeting Dave Fleming and Laura Rutledge, who I've met in passing but I've never spent much time with, so I'll meet them at I believe 2:30, and we're going to go down and we're driving to Temple University, which I think is probably 15-20 minutes from where I'm at now, and we're going to go sit down with Jeff Collins, head coach at Temple, and his staff. Then we'll leave those meetings, and we will meet with Philip Montgomery and his staff. And then I'm going to try to get some food, I hope, before I delve back into watching some more tape and finalizing probably this game and still looking forward to Georgia Tech Clemson. So I got a lot, Mark.
I got an issue with Laura Rutledge. Will you take something up with her for me?
Yeah, I'm writing it down. What you got?
Okay, she thinks that LeBron is like not even close. There's no question that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan. She had that take on Get Up one morning.
Come on,
sir.
So, all right. Well, here's what I'll try to do. I'll do a little see if I can't get like a 60-second video of her and I debating Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Okay. What's the main point you want me to hammer home for MJ, Mark?
I just want you to ask her if she even knows saw MJ play.
Okay.
Or she's just looking at the statistics. Then anyway, no, I'm just kidding a little bit. But she did have an argument with Jalen Rose, and you know, he's trying to tell her that he played with those guys and both of those guys, and it wasn't close. But she continued to argue, so give her credit for that. Don't get into an argument with her, Dusty, because she might. I mean, she's not going to give in. So you can take it to the in-game scenario on you.
Yeah, I can't show up. This isn't my crew. I'm just kind of, you know, joining the group for a week, so I can't step in and cause some kind of riff or beef. But I can have a I can challenge her opinion. And here's the bad part: I'm a LeBron guy, and I mean I would say I'm a bigger fan of LeBron than I ever was or have been of Michael Jordan. I can say that without question. But I can also say Michael Jordan's the best to ever play. And you know, my opinion.
There's
I think
no doubt about it.
It's pretty well fact at this point.
There's no question about that. The Steelers seem to have, at least Antonio Brown is back at the practice. And so there was a little defense yesterday from the quarterback on the Steelers of his wide receiver.
I don't think he wants traded. I'll speak to him tomorrow, and maybe I'll have a different answer for you after that. But I don't think that. I think it's just a competitor in him, a guy that is still fired up, and I think he enjoys being here.
Pretty big game for the Steelers at Tampa Bay.
Need to win, Mark. I'm telling you, winning when you start losing, and you know when you tie the Browns and you turn over six times, and you get run at, you know, you didn't get run, but you get beat at home, and there's already other things swirling, you know, frustrations boil over, tempers flare, and we know Antonio Brown's already a bit of a diva. He's just kind of went over the handle. So they just need a win, Mark. That's what they need. They need a win as bad as anybody in football right now. That I'm not saying that's going to cure all that ails them. If there really are some deep-rooted issues within that locker room, they're going to probably surface regardless. But I do think a win would go a long way and would help ease some of what seems like some rough waters right now.
Are you concerned at all? I'm a little bit concerned for Fitzpatrick after the Colin McGregor impersonation at the post game. Yeah, he's kind of.
I mean,
he's got this.
He's setting himself up. He is setting himself up for failure. I mean, there's no doubt. Like the best thing he had going for him was that he was under the radar, right?
Correct.
I mean, that was like his. It's like, and even after week one, he's still under the radar. It's like this dude can't do it again, right? I mean, I was saying this, like, oh well, he threw four touchdowns last week. He very well might throw four picks this week, and he follows up a 400-yard, four touchdown game with a 400-yard, four touchdown game. But then he went chains, then he went DeSean Jackson, jumpsuit, shades. I love it, Mark. It makes me want to embrace the Ryan Fitzpatrick fandom. But at the same time, typically when we see somebody embrace that side, it typically goes the other way. So he's taken away his greatest thing that he had going for him, the element of surprise. Now he's kind of raised the bar, and it's somewhat expected. But I know this much. If he throws for four tugs and 400 yards again, I can't wait to see what he wears at the podium. I'm gonna have my popcorn ready.
Over the course of his career, there's been no one that has gone from, like, four TD passes in a game to four picks in a game faster than Ryan Fitzpatrick. His numbers this year are stupid. They're stupid. 48 of 61. That's almost 80% passing, 79% passing. He's averaging 13.4 yards completion, and he has eight touchdowns and one pick. Quarterback rating of 1.51. If someone would have told you that's, I don't know how you don't start. I mean, you don't start him if you got him in a fantasy football league. You put him in and just forget about it. That'll be fun. Monday night games, like this last Monday night game, I appreciate the Bears. I'm all there for Brian's ceremony and things like that, but this is a really good Monday night game. This is an important early season game. If Tampa wins this game, then you think that maybe they've got a chance to compete in a division where they look like they were the clear last place finisher. And if Pittsburgh loses, then they're really putting themselves in position to have to make a significant rally this year to win the AFC North.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, I would still probably be somewhat reluctant on Tampa, Mark. I know that sounds bad, because if they start out 3-0, for the wins that they would have under their belt, especially against Philly last week and now beating Pittsburgh.
Well, at New Orleans, a huge divisional win.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I would still be reluctant to think that, you know, I still would like New Orleans as well as Atlanta in the division over them, but clearly, they would have made a huge statement. I would be more concerned with Pittsburgh, and what that would start to look like, you know, in the AFC North. 0-2-1 is not, you know, I can't remember what the stat was of 0-2 teams. I know New Orleans was 0-2 last
10%,
year.
About 10% to make the playoffs.
But I wonder what that goes to if you're winless after three. See, I can't say 0-3, but if you're winless after three games, I can't imagine a very high percentage of those teams make the playoffs. I bet it'd be under 5%. So, not saying Pittsburgh couldn't, but when you start to look at the odds of it, man, being winless through three games is not a place you want to be in the National Football League. That's for certain.
No, I think that's I'm trying to find.
And that locker room won't be getting any better of a situation. Come Monday night post game or going into Tuesday.
Okay, I don't know about 0-2-1, but 0-3 teams, there have only been three teams in the NFL that have, and since the playoff format expanded to 12, there have only been three teams that have done it.
There you go.
92
and I'm guessing
Chargers,
I mean,
the 95 Lions, and the 98 Bills. So it's been a long time since somebody's done it.
95 Lions, was that Barry's last year? What was Barry's last? No, he played longer than that. What was Barry's last year?
No, Barry was there. Barry was definitely there then. No, he played. Barry played.
He
was, 10
he played
years.
To 98. Yeah, he played what till 98, 99.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Herman Moore.
Yeah, he did.
Big time receiver for that Lions.
Would have been Scott Mitchell as the quarterback too, right? Was Scott Mitchell the lefty throwing to him?
I think it was. I think it was.
I remember Scott for some reason. A Kramer seems like was there an Eric Kramer at Detroit?
Yes, there was. There was. That's correct. We're going back in the old school with the Lions.
Yeah, back in the old school days.
I'm going to, since you're away and you seem like you've got a lot of work on your mind, I'm going to let you determine what the topic is going to be the next segment. I need to tell people that they can come by and have a little free lunch with us today here at Country Equipment. We have Qdoba Mexican Eats in the house. Also, they have some significant sales going on here right now, like the 23-horsepower Kubota tractor. That includes power steering, front end loader, cutter, box blade, trailer, no money down, 60 months, 0% financing available if you have credit that is approved. All of it for $17,500, short time only here. So customers can get 0% APR for 60 months on Kubota tractors. It's going to save you a ton of money here at Country Equipment, I-35 and Southeast 89th Street. The Monsters. Mark and Dusty with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Dusty, you're getting ready to call the Tulsa game tomorrow night. I want to get into some breakdown and analysis of the TU Golden Hurricane with Dusty, but there is a little bit of breaking news. Saw this yesterday that Jimmy Butler of the Minnesota Timberwolves was trying to get a meeting with the front office on Monday. Couldn't get it done. I guess met with him yesterday or maybe today, and he wants to be out of Minnesota. He wants to be traded. Dusty, that's... I guess there's some kind of rift between Towns, Wiggins, and then Butler and Thibodeau on the other end of that. But that's a team in the West you think would be pretty competitive and not a good situation there.
He's the best player on that team, isn't he? I think he is right now.
I'd say Towns is probably better than him, but it's close.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's better offensively, but I mean, for what he gives you on the wing and being a defender, I don't know. I mean, he's a nice piece. Interesting. I'd love to know who the three teams are. Yeah, I mean, clearly, I don't know if it's Wiggins, if it would be Karl-Anthony Towns, which one of them has the personality that you can't get along with, but it's obviously not working. You have to kind of wonder about Jimmy Butler, I guess, too, maybe, right? He wasn't happy in Chicago. He's not happy in Minnesota. I don't know how much of the onus should maybe be on him, but not good news for Minnesota. You have to think when they traded for him, they had anticipated that they were going to get him back with his former head coach and get him happy, and that would be his home for the foreseeable future. But I guess the biggest thing I have is I'd love to know who those 1-3 teams that he would agree to sign an extension are.
Well, I think one of the issues has got to be defense. Because when Thibodeau came in and Butler came in, you thought, okay, this is going to be a Minnesota team that can really play some defense. Karl-Anthony Towns does not defend, and they give up a ton of points. So I think just philosophically that could be a little bit to do with it, but look, every dispute I don't think is ever, it's not 90-10. I mean, usually there's some fault on either side. So I'm certainly willing to think that Jimmy Butler has contributed something to this.
Yeah, it typically takes two to tango.
Sam Presti will be meeting with the media tomorrow. We will be carrying that live, I'm sure, at 10 a.m. I know Royce is going to join us tomorrow afternoon too. So I didn't want to lead you too far away from the game you're calling tomorrow night.
Tulsa Temple, Thursday night. I think it's an interesting game, Mark. I really do. Because, I mean, as interesting as a 1-2 versus 1-2 matchup can be, I guess. But I think Tulsa's probably a little bit better than what most people would think. And Temple, I don't know how people feel about them because they did lose to Villanova. They lost to Buffalo. But I just think when you glance and you see, well, they beat Maryland by 21, the first thing that pops into your head is, well, Maryland beat Texas. Missile, do you have a bet with somebody on win total for Maryland this year?
I did, yeah, with Matt Meyer.
Oh, what was the number?
7.5.
Oh.
I still have games with Michigan State, Ohio State.
Michigan State stinks. Michigan's all right. All they got to do is upset one of those games.
They have a hurt quarterback last week? I'm not sure. But I know that the guy who I saw throwing the football on that Temple tape was awesome.
Was it Kaysom Hill or Tyrone Pigram? Those are both there when they lit up.
Number four?
I think that's Hill. I think that's Kaysom Hill. I think they're healthy. They just had a bad game against Temple.
Ooh, I mean, that guy.
Look, I think you guys
I would not trust him to get me 8 wins. I'll tell you that.
Look, man. Anyway. It's against Temple. You got to adjust the competition. Temple's a really good team.
They definitely covered in emphatic fashion. That's for certain.
No shame for TU in losing to Arkansas State, right? I mean, that's not Arkansas State's a decent team.
I don't think they're shaming it, but they should have beat them. Like, okay, so for me, here's Tulsa. I really like the running back Shamari Brooks, Tulsa Union product. Mark, nice player. You know, he played a lot as a true freshman last year. In 12 games he's played, he's got 600-yard games. I mean, it's 14 touchdowns in 12 games. I mean, the kid has stepped in right away and been a really nice player. They've got a couple of really good offensive linemen. I like the center, Chandler Miller. 42 straight starts for this guy, Mark. If he stays healthy, knock on wood, he'll have started 50 straight games in the offensive line. That's incredible to me. I think 72 Tyler Bowling's got a chance to play in the NFL. Big physical offensive guard. He's got an interesting backstory, but you know, he's making his, I think, 28, 29 straight starts. So they've got some continuity in the middle of their offensive line, and they're probably, though it's Phil Montgomery's, we think of Baylor's offense as, you know, throw it around the yard. Well, it's also a physical run game. They're a better running team than they are throwing team. And I feel like if this team was going to be, you know, a legitimate team that could win 8 games or so, 7-8 games, they'd need Luke Skipper to play well. And he's just kind of still been inconsistent from last year. So he's an athletic guy. He moves around pretty well. I think he can throw the ball well. He's just inconsistent with his, I think, with his decision-making as well as with his accuracy, which is never a good thing. So they kind of really lean heavily on just running the football. I think they got some decent weapons outside, nothing great, but solid players. But it's so dependent on better quarterback play. And Bill Young, as everybody knows around here real well, he's the defensive coordinator, and they're improved on that side of the ball. I mean, they're not great, but they play really hard. They're much more fundamentally sound. They were bad last year. And they've been, you can tell, just talking with players and coaches, they feel a lot better about that side of the ball, doing more of a 3-3-5 stack, playing a little bit more coverage, or when they want to, when they walk up those outside linebackers, they're safeties that are basically like linebackers. It's helped their ability. It's helped their little bit ability to play run defense a little bit better. So they feel better about that side of the ball. And Temple, again, like I say, I know that they just beat Maryland, so I don't want to downgrade that. And they play tough, hard, you know, on defensive side, but they're lacking quality quarterback skills, and they don't really have a true identity or can just pound people and run the football effectively either. So, yeah, they kind of those 35 points, a little bit of smoke and mirrors in there. So I don't know. The spread yesterday was over a touchdown. Like I said yesterday, I'll continue to say it, and I could be wrong. It seems like there's some value on the Tulsa side right now for me, Mark. This is a pretty evenly matched game.
Do you think Tulsa can make a bowl?
Let me see here. At Temple, at Houston, South Florida, at Arkansas. They'd have to beat Arkansas, which they could. Tulane, UConn, let me count. Probably not, Mark. I mean, I think 5 wins attainable, 6. They'd have to win this game tomorrow night, I think, to get to 6. So I'm going to say 2 losses. They'd need to beat Arkansas as well. Get you 3. I think they can beat Tulane, UConn. I mean, to me, here's the path. You need to win at Temple tomorrow night. You need to win at Arkansas. It's crazy that I'm saying that. But Tulane's very winnable. UConn is very winnable. SMU is very winnable. All 3 of those are in your backyard, so you need to find 2 other wins on the schedule. And this is how crazy times are in college football. I'm actually going to say that at Arkansas, is a easier win than at Houston, at Memphis, or at Navy. So I think the path for Tulsa to get to a bowl game starts with winning tomorrow night. How about that, though, Mark? I mean,
I would think.
Would you agree?
You think Navy's better than Arkansas? That's the only one that I would have. I think Houston probably is.
Flip a coin.
I think Memphis is.
I think you flip a coin. I mean, Navy or Tulsa. I'd probably pick Navy if they played tomorrow on a neutral field. I mean, I wouldn't feel great about it, but one of those games. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Tulsa finishes just short. But if they get better quarterback play, if Luke Skipper really matures and shows some growth this season, I'd say yes, they get the 6 wins. They have enough pieces. I think they're good enough up front. They run the ball well enough, and they play good enough defense that if they just got, you know, solid quarterback play, I'd say, yeah, they could probably knock on the door and get 6 wins. Just to this point, though, they haven't quite gotten that level.
All right, very good. Is this it for you? Are you coming back?
Well, Jake Trotter is going to be next segment, so I'm going to probably just – I probably won't see you again until tomorrow, Mark. Actually,
okay.
I won't talk to you because I can't even see you now. So
we will finally bid you adieu. Is Jake – are you breaking news? Jake's up next segment? Missile? Jake is up next segment. I had no idea. I did not know. That's probably my fault.
You don't ever look at your cell phone while you're on radio?
Sometimes I do. Yeah, sometimes. Did I miss
the missile? The missile was letting us know what was coming up, so we could tease that. I was trying to help you with your tease coming up.
Okay, then we have it. Jake Trotter's coming up next. Dusty, get yourself a nice Philly cheesesteak tonight, and we will talk to you again soon.
Well, okay, but I'm gonna tell you right now, this is either gonna go really well or really poorly. But on your command, I'm gonna go get into a verbal altercation with Laura Rutledge over Michael Jordan being the greatest basketball player of all time.
Can't wait.
Poorly, okay. It's on you, man.
All right, I love it. All right, thanks, Dusty. Appreciate it.
Right,
we'll
buddy.
Take a break here at Country Equipment, I-35 and Southeast 89th. We still have a little bit of Qdoba Mexican Eats for you to eat, and it is absolutely free. So 0% APR for 60 months on a lot of things here inside the store to make you help take care of your acreage from big to small at your place. Country Equipment, 2 locations, 1 in Tuttle, 1 here in Oklahoma City, I-35 and Southeast 89th. Joins us. Where are you headed this weekend?
By the way, I just passed you on the highway, Mark.
Should have come inside and said hello. We'd have given you some free lunch.
I wasn't in a hurry. I would have stopped in and hung out for a little bit.
Good. What game are you going to?
So I'm going to Morgantown, West Virginia this weekend. Working on this this piece that's sort of not related to the actual game itself, but I will be there for the game to see your Kansas State Wildcats and see if they can turn things around and make the Big 12 championship game as you so confidently predicted before the season.
Yeah, I'm not so confidently predicting that anymore. They are a 16-point underdog in this game. That's not
wow.
Much respect for K-State. This game has been close, very close the last 3 years, 4 years, I think.
It does feel like the kind of game that Kansas State could give West Virginia problems. And more so because the Mountaineers are coming off an off week and they just always struggle with Kansas State. I mean, there have been a lot of times where West Virginia has been favored in this game and it ends up being really close or Kansas State pulls the upset. So if I were a betting man, and this could be a preview of the picks Friday, I would lean toward the Kansas State side of the equation.
That's a lot of points. What's been, Kansas State, what's been their biggest issue so far this season? They haven't been able to have a whole lot of success on offense.
Yeah, they can't. They don't really have any dynamic playmakers at receiver. I think their offensive line has been a little bit underwhelming, you know, particularly protecting the quarterback. And, you know, Skylar Thompson played fairly well against UTSA, but they've just been way worse at quarterback than they thought they were going to be before the season. I mean, they thought they had two really good players there based on the way that they played last year. But so far, neither has been very consistent. And, you know, Delton can run, but he can't throw. And Skylar hasn't really been able to run the ball very well outside last week. And he's the passing quarterback, but they don't have anybody to really throw to. So they just haven't really found any kind of identity offensively. And they've been banged up on the defensive side. So they're going to be missing a starter safety this weekend. a bad recipe when you're going up against maybe the best passing quarterback in the country.
Austin this week, Texas and TCU. Texas opens up a 2.5-point underdog, which I think is seems like a pretty low number to me in this game. How do you break down the quarterbacks in this game? Sean Robinson has not done enough for me to be overly impressed with him so far this season.
Yeah, I heard you and Craig talking earlier, and Matt. So you're a little bit more skeptical of Robinson, and they think clearly he's the better player than Ellinger, right? That's the way I heard it.
I think he's the better player of the two, but I don't think it's by a big margin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I Robinson upside is certainly, you know, dwarfs what Ellinger could become, you know, later on in his career at Texas. I thought he acquitted himself pretty well despite the mistakes against Ohio State. I love the fact that, you know, he can do a lot of different things, you know, running or throwing. But I would say that the quarterback edge is probably a wash. I wouldn't give either side a great advantage in that equation. You know, Ellinger more experienced, Robinson a little bit more dynamic. A lot of questions about both at this point.
Do you expect that game to be competitive?
I do. Don't you?
I think so. I think that Texas is, you know, last week their rush defense against USC stood out. I thought that was impressive. But turnovers, man, are so important for both of these teams. And I think both teams have the propensity to turn it over.
You know, I lean toward TCU in this game, but people, probably because they were watching Ohio State-TCU, which was the number one watched game of the year so far, I don't know if people realize, like Texas was boat racing USC, a ranked USC team that I didn't think was very good. But, you know, they did beat them pretty convincingly. So I think Texas has quietly got a little bit of confidence going into this game. It's in Austin. On the other hand, TCU has completely dominated the series since joining the Big 12. So I think the speed that TCU is going to bring to the table offensively is probably going to be the difference, you know, with Turpin and Darius Anderson and those guys. But I would not be stunned if this was, you know, if this game came down to the final drive.
Kansas, 12 turnovers the last 2 weeks. The defense is making some things happen. And, I don't know a whole lot about Puka Williams, their running back, the true freshman, who is averaging 9 yards a carry in the last 2 weeks. But do you think they can... can they win at Baylor? What was Baylor's main problem last week against Duke?
Oh boy, they had a lot of main problems. You know, they're still switching quarterbacks, which is weird. You know, they had the grad transfer McClendon from NC, or not the transfer from NC State McClendon, and then obviously Charlie Brewer, who we saw a little bit of last year. You know, for whatever reason, they haven't decided on a guy, and I think they've lost a ton of rhythm offensively as a result of that. They're kind of all over the place.
Right.
You know, at one point they had to put Jalen Hurd at tailback just to try to get something going. The offensive line has been banged up. And defensively, they haven't found enough of the guys that they used to have. They just don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. So, I mean, they've got a lot of problems. There is some athleticism, particularly at the skill positions on both sides of the ball, but they have not been cohesive in any way, shape, or form this year.
So is this legit from Kansas? I mean, I know their competition level has been very low with Rutgers and Central Michigan, but come on, man, 12 turnovers in 2 weeks, that's pretty impressive.
Doesn't seem sustainable, though, either, right?
No, it does not, no.
I mean, I sort of am a believer in Kansas being the team that we did not see in Nichols because of the guy you laid out, Puka Williams, is averaging 8.9 yards per carry. He's been a home threat, a home run threat out of that backfield. It's just given them some playmaking that they did not have, haven't had really since, you know, I don't know. You got to go all the way back to, you know, the Todd Reesing, you know, those years, late in the 2000s, 2008, 2009. So his ability to break big plays has kind of loosened a little bit of the pressure on the quarterback situation. And you know, they always had good players. Kansas has always had good players defensively. I mean, Daniel Wise is maybe one of the best two or three defensive tackles in the Big 12.
Joe Dineen
at linebacker is fantastic. I mean, they've got, Mike Wise, they've got pretty good players defensively. And now that they're doing at least something on offense, I think has galvanized the entire team, because even if you're a good defense, if you're having to be out there every time, you know, your offense is three and out, you're back out there, three and out, back out there, interception, you're back out there. I mean, I think that weighs on a defense after a while. And because the offense has shown a little bit, has been a little bit dynamic, I think that has really encouraged the defense to play at a higher level. So, you know, at the level that it could for Kansas, it's kind of coming together. And, you know, I think they got a great chance to beat Baylor.
Well, okay, speaking of Baylor, there was pretty high expectations for Baylor this season. The win-loss total in Vegas was set for 6, which was really
right.
Ambitious. Are they making progress?
Doesn't appear so. I mean, they had a couple of wins to start the season. I think Duke was a really good barometer game for them. I thought that they would win. I think Dusty thought that they would win. And you know, you talk to people around the Big 12, and they're like, hey, Baylor, you know, they've got – you know, they've got speed at receiver. Charlie Brewer really came on, and they have not been the team that I think a lot of us thought that they would become. And it's hard to see it all of a sudden clicking for them in week 4 when it so didn't in week 3. I mean, they got completely obliterated by Duke. Okay, Duke's a nice team, but they got obliterated by Duke, and a Duke team that didn't have its starting quarterback. I think that's a really bad sign for Baylor the rest of the year.
Well, I know that Matt Rhule flirted with some NFL jobs in the offseason, and I understand that the NFL might be tempting to him, having played there in the NFL and coached in the NFL. But if he decides to abandon ship early on, that just tells me that I think that, you know, Baylor, after Art Briles and after Wild Wild West, if anything goes on campus, is probably headed back towards the cellar of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that they have done pretty well in recruiting. You know, they've not had bottom of the barrel recruiting classes since Rhule has been there. He's actually impressed. You know, they've been somewhere in the 30s, kind of right there with, you know, Oklahoma State. And so they've got good players on campus. They don't have enough of them. They've got quarterback problems, and you know, they're just not imposing on the lines. I mean, Baylor back when, you know, had one of the best offensive lines in the country, and then they had guys like Andrew Billings at defensive tackle. I mean, I don't know that they have the kind of guys that would start, you know, at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Texas or wherever, TCU along the lines, and that's a big problem for them moving forward, and especially this season, you know, when they're kind of inexperienced at quarterback and really haven't found any kind of identity offensively.
Oklahoma State, will we know a little bit more about their defense this week? Because I was really impressed with what they did to the Boise State running game. Now, this week
super
it's going to be
throw
a palooza against Texas Tech. But I still think that they're going to be able to get some pressure on the Tech offense with those athletes they've got off the edge.
Well, I mean, people are going to be down on them, I'm sure, when they give up points and yards in this game. I mean, that happens when you play Texas Tech. You're just going to give up. You're going to give up some points. You're going to give up some yards. You know, the thing I'm going to be looking to see, Ed Oliver, Houston, they could not get any pressure on Bowman in that game. You know, he was able to sit back there and take his time and make all the throws. And that's why he had such an unbelievable stat line. Can Brailford, Ken Bundage, you know, Ken Owens and those guys, can they get after Bowman in this game? And I think if they get pressure, then I think that they've got a terrific chance to win this game going away. But if Bowman's able to stand back there and make throws, then I think it's going to be your typical, you know, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech 40-point shootout where maybe the last team with the ball wins the game. I mean, I think Oklahoma State is decidedly better than Texas Tech and in areas they maybe haven't been before, particularly the defensive line and, you know, even, you know, across the defense. But if they can't get pressure on the quarterback, they can't make him feel uncomfortable. You know, Kingsbury will have a good plan offensively that it will allow them to move the ball.
Oh, well, she's won 8 in a row in the series, I think.
They've dominated Texas Tech, going back to the 66-6, you know, the Route 66 game in Lubbock with Brandon Whedon. So they have, early on in the Big 12, Oklahoma State always really had a hard time with Texas Tech. But since Leach has left, it has been all Cowboys in this series. And, you know, it would be impressive, I think, if they you know, if they locked up Texas Tech a little bit, you know, won the game something like, I don't know, 45-24, something like that, would be a tremendous sign for the capability for this defense. I mean, I think this has a chance to be the best defense that Mike Gundy has had. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that's right. I mean, the year they went to the Fiesta Bowl, that was a pretty underrated defense, I thought. Some good players on that team.
Yeah, that defense forced a lot of turnovers. I mean, that team was unbelievable at forcing turnovers. You know, they averaged like three a game. But I think even if this defense doesn't force turnovers, it can still be pretty effective. So I like what I saw against Boise State, a pretty good Boise State team that had a veteran offense with a really experienced quarterback, and they dismantled them a little bit. So this is another test. I think this might be their second toughest game, you know, before Bedlam, November 10th. Before Texas, yeah.
At K-State, tougher?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, and you got Iowa State and Stillwater. You know, one of those three would probably be the toughest before Texas. But I think at Kansas State is probably their toughest remaining game before Bedlam. What do you think? Just because it's on the road.
Yeah, no, they've had a hard time with Kansas State in the past.
They have, yeah. And you got to think that Snyder, his team will be playing better in late October. They always seem to play better in November, late October, than they do in September or September, early October. So I think that could be a pretty tough game for them in a couple weeks. Again, they might have to grind out like they have in the past. But I think it is in play for Oklahoma State to be a 9-0 team going to Bedlam. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen. I'm not saying it's likely. But it is in play in a way that I didn't think it was before the season. And if they do get to that point, that would be saying a lot, considering this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And would say a lot about where this program is, that in a rebuilding year, you know, they would have a chance to get to 9-0. I thought that was a huge win for them, handling Boise the way they did.
Dude, I think the program is clearly at a pretty high level. It's a top 25 program, or maybe even better than that. I mean, they've been too consistent of winners. I think that it's even better in a year where there aren't expectations. Like, it just feels to me that Mike Gundy is more comfortable coaching a team when not much is expected of them, and he has more of a kind of a quiet confidence. And anything like last season, they play tight, right?
I mean, yeah, they did play tight.
Got off to really bad starts at games at home. I mean, there's no reason that you shouldn't have won those games that they had in Stillwater last year with the kind of offense that they had. But I thought that this season seems like it's completely different than that. The vibe is just is entirely different from Mike Gundy.
This season always kind of reminded me of 2012 for them. You know, they lost all the guys from the Big 12 title team, and you know, it kind of felt like, okay, they're probably going to go something like 5-7, and they were very competitive. I remember being in Norman for that Bedlam game that went to overtime, that Oklahoma had to really fight to come back and win. I thought this would kind of be like that team. This team is going to be better than that team. I think this team has clearly shown that they just have more athletes across the board than that team did. And, you know, we'll see with Cornelius. I thought he was pretty solid against Boise State. And if they play good defense and – you know, they can run the ball a little bit. All he has to be is solid. He doesn't have to be spectacular for them to win. So I think that he's going to be their guy clearly going forward. And you know, he wasn't out of his mind against Boise, but I thought he played pretty well and definitely well enough for them to win that game.
Are you going to try to sneak your picks in here at the last second today, or you want to wait till Friday? What was up with that? It did not help you in the least to make those picks on Wednesday. I think you need to take a little bit more time.
So I had a conflict on Friday, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make my normal segment. And then on top of that, I wanted to pick the Boston College game, which was on a Thursday. And what I should have done in hindsight was pick the BC game and then come back and figure out a way to make my picks, you know, on Friday. Ended up working out on Friday, but yeah, it was a little bit you guys were definitely not ready for that. And it definitely did not work for me. So we're going to go back to the normal standard practice here.
My feelings were kind of hurt because I look at, you know, Friday, usually Dusty isn't here, and I look at that as kind of it's time for you and I to spend some quality time together.
Yeah.
And you just, I don't know, man.
I jilted you, man. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm very vulnerable. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All okay. Right.
We'll spend some quality time on Friday. Okay.
Before you go, what's the latest that you're working on? What's the next big story? Can you reveal?
What am I working on? I've got a couple things. I have kind of an interesting story Monday. Let's just say it's a retrospective on a movie, a football movie. And if you're between the ages of 34 and 45 today, it might have been a movie that you were obsessed with if you played, like, high school football or college football or whatever.
Oh, okay. We've talked about this. I will not spill the beans, but I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty good. Okay. When you go to West Virginia.
Were you familiar with the movie, by the way?
Yeah, no, we talked about it. Remember, we were watching soccer. You told me about that.
Yeah, sounds good. That's coming out, I think, like Monday or Tuesday. It's in. I finally got it all done, and hopefully it turns it out.
Okay, when you get to Morgantown, I want you to find the place where they burn the couches. I want you to tweet from it.
Say that again, Mark. You broke up what?
When you get to Morgantown, I want you to find the place where they burn the couches there. That would be a great story.
Yeah, no, I mean...
If they win the Big 12, it could be a couch-burning time again. So I think that's relevant this season.
I'm going to scout it out for sure. And I think the story I'm working on at West Virginia will be something that you would definitely be on board with as well.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Jake. We appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. See ya.
All right. Jake Trier of the Iron Man, ESPN.com. We are here at Country Equipment. The world famous or infamous lug nut is here in the house. He's working on a new business venture, and so he is taking part in the great deals that Country Equipment offers here. I believe he's buying a generator. So they can help you with any of your needs for your acreage. They have some huge, huge savings going on right now, 0% interest for 60 months. Before you buy a tractor anywhere else, you need to see Country Equipment's full line of Kubota right here. Two locations where we are today, 8901 South I-35 or in Tuttle, Morgan Road and Highway 37 West. We will take phone calls. Back to the Monsters of the Midday. Mark Rogers hanging out with you until 2 o'clock. That time is the ultimate. Takes over today. So fill them up. We've got a couple of open for you, 460-WWLS. There's been a Woj bomb on the Jimmy Butler situation. Jimmy Butler, you might think that in these day and age, guys, you know, like Kevin Durant won a title, traded me to Golden State, people teaming up in Houston, Chris Paul and James Harden, that Jimmy Butler may want out to go someplace where he would win a championship. Nope, doesn't appear to be that way. Jimmy Butler's three preferred destinations for a trade include the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Nets.
Show me the money!
That's right. The Nets. This may be the best day that the Nets have had as a franchise in quite some time. There's a legit NBA superstar that is possibly demanding a trade to the Nets. That's crazy. Well, he wants to get paid. He wants max money. And those are the teams that can sign him to the max. That would, I think, help the trade value for him in Minnesota. What do the Nets have that the Timberwolves would want? I don't know. The Knicks, I can see, going to play Madison Square Garden on that team. There is a lot of buzz around the league that it could be a destination for Kevin Durant after next season. KD, Jimmy Butler would be a pretty good wing combo in New York. With those two guys on that team, I think they would be able to attract some other players. So New York makes sense. The Nets make no sense. Other than just get him some cash. All right, so there's a little NBA news amidst the football talk today. Let's go to Mike. What's up, Mike?
I got a question. Who's in the NFC is going to be the juggernaut? And is Reuben Foster going to be any kind of difference maker in the Niners game this week since he's coming back from his suspension?
Oh, man, he's a very good college football player. Now, again, what was your question in reference to the NFC?
Who's going to be the juggernaut?
Well, the Rams look like they're the best team right now.
All right.
There are two games that I think the Rams have played the best. The Rams, it's not been the most difficult schedule for them. They have the Chargers this week, which is a pretty decent game. But the Rams are loaded about everywhere. the teams in the NFC that I thought were going to be pretty good, one of them was New Orleans. And New Orleans is lucky to be 1-1 with two games at home. So it's not been an ideal start for the Saints. The Eagles lose at Tampa. I wasn't as high on the Eagles going into the year as I think some other people were. It's just so tough to repeat and do well after winning the Super Bowl. And I was very high on Green Bay going into the season. And the Packers really were fortunate to have a tie at home against the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings really shot themselves in the foot in that game. If they were 2-0, I think you put them up there with the Rams, especially going on the road and winning a divisional game in Green Bay, but it did not. Yeah, three missed field goals in that game cost them what would have been a big win. I can't remember the last time Minnesota won an important game in Green Bay. It's been a while since the Vikings have been good, and they may have won a game there, but I remember them losing in the playoffs at Green Bay a couple seasons ago. It's just difficult to win against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. They couldn't pull it off. All right, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. Thursday in the NFL. The primetime games this week are pretty good. And they're kind of sneaky good, where not really you would expect the Steelers and the Bucks to be that important on Monday night. And never in the history of, as long as I can remember, would anyone be amped to see the Jets and the Browns. Times are different, though. You've got Baker Mayfield on the Browns roster, one play away. Sam Darnold for the Jets at 1-1. You've got the refrigerator full of free beer in Cleveland that's about ready to be broken into. If the Browns can finally end this losing streak. And the Browns, according to ESPN stats and info, their football power index have a 60.6% chance of ending that streak and winning this game. If they don't win this game, I really think you start there. That, to me, harkens a Baker Mayfield watch. With Tyrod Taylor, is just a shade above 50% passing. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Over the course of his career, he has not been a guy that's thrown interceptions. He's been a guy that hasn't taken many chances down the field. And if he's going to throw picks and only two touchdown passes, not taking a whole lot of chances, it might be time to see Baker Mayfield. And if you think that he, again, if you're in Cleveland and you're Dorsey, you believe that Baker gives you a better chance to win, why not fire him in there? Because the Steelers are a mess. That's been the team that's been dominating that division. And the Browns are right there close to having a couple of wins. This might be a season in which you never know. You get the same record as the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell doesn't appear to be coming back anytime soon. A little turmoil for the offense. Browns play in Pittsburgh in just a couple of weeks. So I'd be doing my damnedest to try to get out there and win. Then the Sunday night game, I don't know how the Sunday night game was selected with the Patriots and the Lions. The Lions are just a mess of a football team. No running threat. They lost some of their better pass rushers on the defensive side of the football. And in a tough division where the Bears have really improved, the Lions, they are they're going to struggle a little bit. So one of the best games is one of the best games, I think, of the weekend in the NFL is that Niners-Chiefs game. So I do think the Niners are good. I think the Niners have some ability that they can make things interesting in Kansas City. Green Bay at Washington. Missile, what happened to the Redskins last week? I mean, I was a big fan of Alex Smith in fantasy because you could get him really late. And I thought, you know, a lot of short passes to these receivers that can run in that Redskins offense. Probably was going to pick up some rushing yards and do some things like that. And last week, that's stunning to me that they lost to the Colts.
It happens. It's the NFL. I mean, the Redskins are just, they're an average team, slightly above average. And Colts are below average team. They what?
You picked them to win that division. They're going to have to be better than average to win that division.
No, they don't. 10-6 will win it. 9-7 might even take home that division. I'm just
9-7.
9-7 could take home that division. Absolutely.
I think that Philadelphia, to me, they would get past 9. I do like Washington. I didn't think it was a bad pick. I kind of considered picking Washington to make the playoffs, but Alex Smith's going to have to do better. That looked like Alex Smith in Kansas City. That just no explosiveness. Offense is not going to be able to do much. So, all right, let's go to Trenton. What's up, Trenton?
What up?
Hello, Trenton.
Would you put money on Wisconsin covering the spread this week? -3 at Iowa.
I think that's one of the better college games of the weekend. Wisconsin struggling at quarterback on the road against a pretty good defense. I don't know. That looks to me like I take the points in that one, Trenton.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Iowa has played pretty good football to start the year. And that wasn't much of a fluke last week. BYU, not a really good team. And they went into Madison and won. So this is a tough ask, I think, for Wisconsin to get back up and go on the road against an Iowa team that unheralded but has been very consistent. Got a chance to make it back to the Big Ten championship game again. I think it would be the second time in 3 years or second time in 4 to win that division. We have Cold Fire. Is that right?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, man, what did you think about OU's defense Saturday?
I didn't think it was very good. I thought they had a hard time tackling to the secondary. I thought the coverage was a little bit soft. I still think that they are improved over last year, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit better play from them last week.
Well, you know what? We'll find out when we play Texas.
But, you think Texas
hey,
is
the...
They
end up can on USC. I know we'll be on... I'm just telling you, man, that freaking defense, it's always the same thing every freaking defense. Freaking Georgia's 54 points. I know people say Mike Stoops, but, man, if his name was Stoops, would he still be the defensive coordinator, though, if his name wasn't Stoops?
Yes, I think so. I think he would be. I think he's in okay. Was Cold Fire trying to swallow the phone, Missile?
I don't know what he was doing.
That was a little difficult to understand him. Not a fan of the OU defense. I don't know that Texas is going to be the team that provides the toughest test for them. I'm not holding my breath on that. OU schedule to me looks much more manageable than I thought it would even be at the beginning of the season. Oklahoma State's better, but that game is in Norman. West Virginia is still kind of an open book to me. But they played Youngstown State, which is a 1AA team, a good one, but a 1AA team, and Tennessee, only 2 games a season. I would have liked to have seen them tested at NC State. Kansas State and Norman doesn't look as tough. But the OU offense at Kyler Murray has exceeded my expectations so far this year. Definitely in the Heisman Trophy race. I'm here today at Country Equipment. We still have a little bit of the Qdoba Mexican Eats here today. And super sales going on right now. So before you buy a tractor anywhere else, come by and see Country Equipment's full line of Kubota here. 2 locations, I-35 in Southeast 89th and Morgan Road, Highway 37 West in Tuttle. Country Equipment has Polaris models for the young and the old. And I've taken a ride on one of the Polaris here. And, man, that was fun. I got the juices flowing. And so if you have a big acreage, don't have a Polaris, you need one. Or you may need a new one. So stop in and see us today at Country Equipment. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, maybe take a couple more phone calls. If you're going to call us, try to give yourself a little bit of distance between the phone and your mouth. Oh, delicious wings. That is the big boys guy said. Fans are hungering for more. Friends, family, flavor, and Zaxby's. We talked about him earlier. The man that is winging it right now is Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He leads the NFL in passing. 819 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. He leads the NFL in passing by 32 yards over the man that he will oppose on Monday night, Big Ben. Big Ben Roethlisberger. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is winging it for Zaxby's. He's the initial winner. I was quizzing the Missile during the break, and the Missile passed the test. This was outstanding work on the Missile's part. The NFL, the top 3 NFL rushers so far this season. I guarantee it, there are two guys that in your fantasy league, even if you have a 12-team league, were probably not picked. Matt Breda for San Francisco, who's splitting time there with Alfred Morris. He's getting a lot of carries because of the injury to McKissick. And then Philip Lindsay, the former Colorado Buffalo running back, sharing some time with Royce Freeman, but he's getting more yards and the touchdowns. So that's a stunner. And it just shows you that a lot of late-round steals to be had out there. Joe Mixon, of course, he's hurt, and Mixon's going to be out a couple of weeks for the Bengals. He is second in the NFL in rushing with 179 yards. Mixon clearly went in almost every league, probably a top three-round pick for Cincinnati, and that's too bad that he's out because it looked like he was off to a pretty good start this year. Okay, we have phone calls. We appreciate it. We are here today at Country Equipment, Southeast 89th and Interstate 35. Let's go to Larry. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Mark.
How's it going, man?
All right. How's it going?
Good.
How's that Haskins 2 Heisman looking?
Well, it's not off to a bad start. They're undefeated.
You know, Billy Price went to the Bengals, so they moved Jordan to center. They got to sure that up. He's 6'8", 300 pounds, something. And a lot of low snaps.
Now, say that again.
The ball's coming out too low to Haskins.
Billy at Ohio Price State?
Billy Price went to the NFL, to the Bengals.
Okay, all right.
They moved Michael Jordan from guard to center. He's like 6'8", 300 and something pounds. But anyway,
you're probably picking apart the offense a little too much. They've been pretty good so far this season.
Yeah, the ball was coming out low in the TCU game, almost every snap. You know,
right.
But yeah,
they should be able to fix that. I like the way Haskins throws a football down the field. They haven't had that element the last couple of years with Barrett.
I think OU and Ohio State can jump Clemson just by the strength of schedule. That would put them in Dallas, right? In the semifinal. I'd like to see that.
it depends. I mean, it depends where the other semifinal game would be. I mean, you're going to put Alabama closest to, if they're number one, you're going to put Alabama closest to where. Josh, you know where the other semifinal game is this year?
Orange Bowl.
Okay.
They're going to avoid OU and Dallas unless OU is a 1 or 2 seed.
Well, that's true. I would think that Alabama, Dallas is not a bad destination for them. I think Alabama, Tuscaloosa is closer to Dallas than Miami. Probably by about an hour and a half, something like that. All right, missile next is Troy. What's up, Troy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, well, I'm calling that out of my stupidity. I know there was some rule changes over the last couple of years in the NCAA about amount of contact and practice and stuff. How much of that and what those rule changes are is affecting some of this poor tackling that we are seeing? Not just OU. I mean, all the schools, even Ohio State, is normally a pretty sound tackling team, is looking pretty shabby tackling.
I think this is more than the rule change. I think what it is that teams these days, the way they practice tackling is you wrap up high. You don't take guys to the ground. You do it to avoid injuries and getting guys' legs twisted up and knees and ankles. And so it's a trade-off that I think most coaches are okay with. When you see guys trying to hit high and wrap up and people bounce off of them, it's just it's not solid fundamental tackling the way that it's taught in practice. And I think most teams don't take you to the ground. I mean, the best way to tackle a guy and get him down is hit him low. And wrap them up. And so we just don't see a whole lot of it anymore. I think that's kind of going to be, in college football, a little bit of a lost art. I mean, we're going to see more prolific offenses. I think we're going to see more missed tackles because people are just afraid to get guys banged up in practice.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like tackling all over the NCAA is really kind of just taking a big downgrade over the last couple of years. And maybe that's the reason. So, okay. I was just curious what your thoughts were.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. I think that's more than anything the situation. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Not much. It just seems like Calterra is just being kind of slow. I mean, being the tight end and everything, it just, the last game, he just had his hands on his hips, and just, of course, that fumble just seems like he doesn't have a pep in his step.
I haven't noticed that he's lacked a pep in his step. I did see the fumble. I still think he's a really reliable target. A little bit different than Mark Andrews. It's unfair just because those guys are big, and Calcaterra played early on in his career to make that comparison to the two guys, but I think Calcaterra will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's good at blocking. He's picking that up as well, so that's always good. And so, but I just something I noticed that he hasn't been kind of the tight end has been kind of slacking, it seems like. I don't know if that's more of Kyler Murray's, you know, preference, is that he wants to go that way or not. So.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's hard to come up with any kind of trend of what Kyler Murray's got as a favorite receiver. I mean, Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb are both really good options that have shined in different games this season. So they're potent at those positions. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Calcaterra is a little bit of an underutilized element. One thing I was going to say about a lot of callers into Jim's show yesterday, I get where Jim's coming from on Murray and Mayfield. The two guys clearly to say – Kyler Murray is going to be better than Baker Mayfield this year. I wouldn't have much time for that argument either. But in terms of Oklahoma's chances of being a better offense at the end of the season, those guys up front are a year older, wiser, smarter, better. They had a hard time last year against Georgia, you know, at points in the second half where they wanted to run the football. Still had a lot of success in that game, but Georgia's got a really good defense. Got about as good a defense as anybody in the country. But I think that the dimension that Murray has of being able to run down the field, and if you lose track of him, he's gone. I mean, he's got that kind of speed. Clearly, he cannot throw the football underneath with the accuracy that Mayfield did. But this Oklahoma offense, with a bunch of guys around him, and especially I think when they had Rodney Anderson, it's not ludicrous to say or unfathomable to say that this OU offense could be as good as last year's offense. Certainly be as effective. That doesn't mean that the quarterback, he's just one guy out of 11. He's an important guy. But when the offensive line is as good as what Oklahoma has and is experienced, they're better than last year. There's no arguing that. They've got better players. I think even losing Orlando Brown, they found guys that can get in there and get after it. Basically had five returning starters, the Alvarez and Samia, Evans, Creed Humphrey, who was, I think, good enough to start last year as a true freshman. They just didn't need him. So that's something, I think, to consider when you talk about this OU offense. I got to get my man Lugnut in here on the phone. He was here earlier today at Country Equipment. What's up, Lugnut?
Hey, Bob. I was just trying to buy a generator, Mark. Got a business to run. Trying to buy a generator.
Yeah, good for you.
Good prices there at Country Equipment. Good prices.
Thank you.
Hey, Mark, fat kid like me, you know, I'm having a whale of a time, no pun intended. Okay, pun intended. Finding an OU jersey. Certainly the listeners out there, besides Fanatics, can tell me where to find one besides Fanatics.
I would have no idea, Lugnut. I would think that you should be able to find one one of our fine advertisers.
Yeah, a man of your wealth of knowledge, I think, you know, I thought that you'd be able to just tell me right away.
You're not coming to the right guy. You know my policy on wearing jerseys.
Well,
that's the athletes.
Well, they allowed us to wear them at work on Sundays. So, you know, I want to get in on the action. I want to get one where I can put my name on the back that says Funky Snow for the new venture.
I can't help
road rage here on the Turner Turnpike, Mark.
I apologize. I'm just not the right person to go to on.
Man, of the one person I thought that would be able to handle it. By the way, upset of the week in high school football, Lions at Jones. Take the Lions over the Longhorns.
Okay, you're on. You're on. I'll take Jones straight up in the game. Missile, I think that'll do it for us today. How do you feel the show went?
I think it was great.
I'm really happy that you didn't raise your voice then, like you did yesterday when you were telling Jim, no, I don't want to go to the fair.
I don't know.
There you go. It's a tell. Got to watch that. Watch that when you're playing poker. I think it was a legitimate compliment to the show that you said it went well. You didn't raise your voice. Didn't go up an octave. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see you.
Let's tell the people thanks for coming by and see us today at Country Equipment, I-35 and Southeast 89th Street. And thanks also to the people at Qdoba who provided free lunch today. If it's free, it's for me. We'll see you tomorrow.